Welcome to Miracles of God with Pastors Joel and Annalisa Jones. Not to serve somebody, might as well serve the Lord. In John 14, Thomas said, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, and how can we know the way?" I believe we all can agree on the importance of knowing the direction before you begin your journey. Today, Pastor Joel continues the teaching series, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, Finding and Following Jesus.
Last week, to those that may not have been here and those may not have heard, we started this, the first part of The Way, the Truth, and the Life, Finding and Following Jesus. It's one thing to find him and say he came to me. It's another thing to follow him once you find him or you discover him, because he knows where you are. He knows where we are. Amen. So it's another thing once we meet him. Amen. So we are going to continue with that. We started last week by exploring the claim that's in that Jesus makes in John 14:6, in which he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except what? Through me." Jesus says, you can't get to the Lord God, the God of creation, without coming through me. It's been set up that way. And this statement is true. And when you think about all the people we have out here who are praying and who are serving gods, different gods, how could it be that there's only one true God? And people are serving statues and idols, and they're serving false gods, and they're serving man's idea of God. They're serving religions that's been created by man. Somebody's been sold a bill of goods, all right? Somebody's been sold some wooden nickels, some counterfeit dollars, because Jesus says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And guess what? You can't get to God the Father without me. Without coming through me. And that's important. I say it's important because I came from a family that didn't know God. And my parents were good people. And they tried to raise us the best way they knew. But they didn't know God. And as a result, a lot of my siblings didn't know God. And don't know him now. Some are 80 years old. I have a sister that's 82 now. I have another sister who is about 79. They won't hear it. So it's important that we see this. Jesus is telling the whole world, I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. Without me, there is no other way. Without me, there is no truth. Huh? Without me, you don't have a life. And you sure don't get eternal life unless we know that Jesus is the way. So this is important. And what it does is it causes us, when he says this, to embark on a quest, a journey with Christ. And this journey, another thing that people don't know is that when you embark on a journey with Christ, you're going to cross territories. You're going to cross physical territory and spiritual territory before we get to that heavenly territory. Does that make sense? We got to cross we have some things to do, you all. It says that in order to come to our heavenly Father, we've got to come through Jesus. Okay? Jesus is, he was the first and the last. He's traveled some distances, so we've got to go through some things to get to our Heavenly Father's, okay? And without spending a whole bunch of time discussing all that's entailed in that statement, just let me say that it means that what is required concerning our walks in Christ is both a physical nature and of a spiritual nature. Succinctly, that's what it is. The journey is one where we will encounter spiritual joys, right? We encounter blessings such as peace, love, kindness, sharing, all those things. But on the other hand, we're also confronted with sadness, aren't we? We go through regret, envy, jealousy, okay? All these types of spiritual and emotional things. We also experience physical things, satisfaction. We get to enjoy food and drink. Huh, Pastor? That's a physical enjoyment. Mm-hmm. She said amen. She ain't said amen to anything else, but she said amen to that, y'all. She woke up. Praise God. He knows how to get her attention. Yet, on the other hand, we also experience pain, don't we? and we even go through death. Huh? Am I right? So all of this, through all of this, we got to nimbly negotiate the path through life. And Jesus says, you can't do it without me. Not properly. Okay? So Jesus serves to rescue us from the perils of this life. Huh? See yourself in a steeplechase on an obstacle course with things in front of you. As soon as you hop over that rail, you land in the water moat, you know, and you get your shoes all wet. Okay? Jesus is there to guide us through the maze of life, right? And that's what he does. We've been born into this thing. Now in John 3:16, and we all know that, and John 3:16, 17 tells us what? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And then he says, for God didn't send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. There's some catchphrases in there, aren't there? Huh? It says, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He didn't say you won't perish. Should not perish. In other words, I'm giving you the opportunity to be saved. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Didn't send my Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Didn't say will be saved. Say you can be saved, right? And that's what I like about God. He is so fair. He lays it out for you and says, all this I'll give you. Okay? And that's what we were talking about last week. So then we understand what Jesus says in John 14:6. He's been sent on an assignment to get us through treacherous and demonically infested territory. We're behind enemy lines, and Jesus comes to rescue us. Only through him, only through our guide can we get out. Unscathed, okay? Now, I said, well, maybe not unscathed, but in one piece. Well, we're going to be changed. Well, in a piece. Well, a piece of us make it. Well, you know what I mean. So I said last week that Jesus hands us, what? The free gift of salvation. We talked about the free gift. It's similar to being handed a free gift card, right? All right. But we discussed last week a free gift is a gift card is free to the recipient, but you still, to put it into effect, you have to do something, don't you? You can't just sit on that gift card. Any of you all got gift cards laying around? Some people, probably. Pastor Annalisa, she got gift cards. She doesn't tell me she has them, but I know she's got them, okay? Then she tells me she needs some, but I know she's got gift cards. But that gift card, you can't use it until you endorse it, until you activate it, right? It's got to be activated. And we were talking about that. So it's the same as you just can't sit on it and expect the card to work for you, right? It's the same as if you were in a boat and the boat capsized and you fell over. I saw that on the news the other day. A man drowned. His boat, and he was up under the boat and he couldn't get out from under. And it'd be the same as if you were in the water and someone comes around and you can't swim and you're treading water and they throw you that little round life preserver, right? So you grab it and look at it. It's not going to do you any good. What do you have to do? You got to put it on. You got to do some work. You got to put it over your head, okay? So you can be towed in so you can be saved. Well, that's how it is. If you expect to survive, and you expect to make use of the salvation that Jesus has given us, we can't just sit on it. We can't just sit on it. We've got to accept the salvation. But God is so faithful. He's so loving. He says, you should be saved. You can be saved, but you have free will, don't you? And he doesn't take that away from you. So that's how we must be with regard to salvation, the salvation that Jesus offers us. And that's what it means when we look at this verse. We should not perish, but yet and still people have free will, and they can accept salvation. We can accept salvation. You can accept salvation or not. That's up to you. And just know that although Jesus offers us the free gift, there's still work involved if we are to truly benefit from this wonderful gift. That's what we need to know. Just as our sermon title, the subtitle infers by saying, finding, then following Jesus. Once we find Jesus, we've got to do what? We've got to follow. There's some work involved. Well, Jesus is with me. I know that, but are you following him? Well, Jesus, I know Jesus. I know that, but do you have a relationship? And what type of relationship? And how deep is the relationship? Are we following Jesus? And just what does it take to truly follow Jesus? And by whose standards are you following Jesus? Are we following Jesus? So, that makes sense somewhat? We all know what that means. And if not, just hang in there. Those of you who are watching, I don't know where you are, but hang in there because God's word is here to enlighten us on what he wants for us to get out of this. So let's go to our Bibles. I'm going to ask Pastor Sister Annalisa Giftcard Jones take us to the book. Annalisa Jones is where. Book of John, chapter 10, verses 27 and 28.
John 10, 27, 28. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand.
All right. What we're saying here is that Jesus lays it out for us right here concerning the relationship which he expects us to have with him. Did you get that? This is the relationship that Jesus expects us to have with him. And well, hold on a minute. You all do know who the sheep are, right? All right. That's all of us. That's all of us. One day the Lord and I were just having a little bit of a conversation. I know some people aren't going to understand that. And I said, well, you know, Lord, I've always been a security-minded person. He said, well, we got sheep and you're a sheepdog. And we were just talking about that. Because I'm a sheep too. See, I'm a sheep dog, you know. But getting back to the scripture here, he says, my sheep, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. If we're following a voice, we're familiar with the voice. Because if you call somebody else's animal, a pet, or a sheep, or dog, they're probably not going to, you might get attacked. You know, but if you know the voice, that the animal knows your voice, he follows you and he comes. Well, that's what the Lord is talking about. He's that being the case, Jesus says, those who know him hear his voice and follow him. That's it. That's it. He's the way, the truth, and the life, finding and following Jesus. He said, if you know me, you're my sheep, you follow my voice. Why are we in this church talking about this? If that's what we do. Obviously, there's something missing. Jesus says right here, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Now, no question about it, he knows each and every one of us. He's the God of creation. Question is, how well do we know him? Okay? If we're his sheep, we hear him. No doubt about it. If you're God's sheep, his lambs, we hear him. Do you remember when you were little and your mother called you for dinner? You heard her. What's your name? Again, I don't want to mention anybody's name. I always mention the wrong name. I can't make up a name. But so-and-so, dinner time. You run because you know it's time to eat and you know your mama's got some good home cooking. But there are sometimes you get called if you're playing outside with your friends or you're somewhere else and your mother called you, like when I used to play ball, and she said, Joe, Joe. And my friends would say, hey, man, your mama calling you. That's Miss Jones. I said, I know. Just let me get this last bat. You know, you're playing. Do you hear the voice? That's the point I'm trying to make. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. They follow me. We're supposed to respond when he calls. Don't treat him like you treat your mother. Dear old mama, Mama, don't you can't treat, I don't care how much you love your mama. You got to love Jesus more. I don't care how afraid you are of your daddy. Boy, he don't even call, the father don't even call your name. He just said, boy, and you know who he's talking to. And Lisa's, what do you call your brother? What was his nickname? You won't even say it. It was funny, though. He wouldn't call him by his name. He had a nickname for him. He said, he would laugh, too, if he said, but I'll say it when he's here so he can hear it and he can laugh and say, yeah, yeah, he did used to say that. But I'm saying that Jesus has laid out the parameters for us. In this verse, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And then he goes on to say, and I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. Jesus is for real. He's not playing around. He says, if you're my sheep, huh? I know you and you know me. When I call you whole, here's the trade-off. I'm giving you everything, salvation. I'm going to protect you. Nobody will ever snatch you to the dark side if you are my children. Now that to me is powerful. That will get me away from a softball game on 35th Street. When he calls my name on the south side. See, I didn't know him then. My mother called my name, and sometimes I acted like I didn't know. Because I thought I was doing something more important at the time. Mm-hmm. She's just going to send me to the store or something like that. And we're in the bottom of the ninth. I can't leave right now. I put mom on hold. I'm trying to win this game, trying to play with my boys, the camaraderie, the union. And do we do that now in our walks in Christ? Know the Lord is calling me. Know he's got something for me. And put that on hold. But Jesus says, you see, I've laid out the parameters for you. I've laid out the outline. The blueprint is that you're my sheep. You know me and I know you. We have a covenant relationship. When I call you, you're supposed to respond. When I tell you to do something, you're supposed to do that thing. If you make a decision, you're supposed to access me, and I will let nobody mess over you except for if it's in my keeping. All the lines are straightforward in this. Jesus says this. See, you know one sentence follows the other because we see when 27 ends with it, my sheep know me and they follow me. And they start 28 off with what? And, A-N-D. That's a conjunction. Can we go back to English class? That's a conjunction. That means that it's joined, those phrases are joined together. Sister Carrie looking and smiling because she knows. We have a very learned lady here, and I had to look that up to make sure, Sister Carrie, because I couldn't quite remember. I said, I know and is a conjunction, isn't it? And I had to check. And there she is. I'm glad I checked. What I'm trying to say is it joins the sentence together. That's how you know the Word of God is inerrant. When you look at it and you look at a little something like that and they just very succinctly put A-N-D in front of it. So that means that one thing is related to the other, isn't it? Huh? He says that I give them, he says, they hear my voice, they follow me consequently and also because of that, you got eternal life. That's beautiful. That's a joy, absolutely. Huh? Absolutely. It connects the verses and it puts them in. What he did was he put it in a specific pragmatic order right there. That's what he did. So when we're going through trials, now look at this. If that's true, then if we're going through trials, if we're going through storms, if we're knocked down, tore down, tore up, blown up, whatever the case may be, we still belong to Jesus and he's still carrying us and nobody, nothing will ever snatch us out of his hands. Right? Yes, yes. And it's true. Jesus is saying, if you follow me, I assure you that eternal life will follow you. Huh? Did y'all get that? He's saying, if you are my sheep, then you know my voice. On top of that, you obey my voice. Therefore, eternal salvation is yours when you do these things. You shall never perish. No one will ever snatch you away. Sometimes it feels like you're being led away. Sometimes it feels like you've been snatched away. Sometimes your faith is low. Jesus said, don't you believe it. If you are really my children, my sheep, huh? I've got you covered, all right? I've got you covered. That's what he's saying. So then Jesus has a distinct protocol for his sheep, which has to do with what? Obedience and submitting to God, submission to God, huh? Now that seems simple enough, doesn't it? Christ offers us salvation. The least we should be able to do is to be obedient and accept it. He said, should have eternal life. I sent my son. The word of God tells us that we should. We should be able to be obedient. We know what, how he thinks about obedience, how he feels about it. 1 Samuel 15:22. To obey is better than sacrifice, right? By the way, look what it says in the book of James. Let's go to James for a minute. Pastor, can you take us to James chapter 4 and read verse 7 and 8 for us? James 4, verses 7 and 8.
James 4, please. 7 and 8 tells us, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Then it says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And it says, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded.
All right. Thank you, Pastor. Now, this text clues us in on why it's so important that we all obey the Lord. Only through submitting ourselves to God can we ever expect to resist the devil. That was the devil telling me don't answer my mama. Don't ignore it, y'all. Play this ball, boy. Play this ball. Play with your friends. We all up in alleys. Anything could get hit by a car. Anything. South side. Granted, I could have been doing worse things, but that's what the devil tell you. You ain't doing nothing bad. Well, I'm disobeying my mother. You see? And the thing about it, we did that. Even when my friend said, hey, Joe, your mama called you. Then when their mama called, we say, your mama called. Then they do it. You see? And that's the devil. So it says only through submitting to God can we resist, because the devil knows how to get your ear. When you're doing something you like to do, you don't like to stop, regardless of who's calling you, right? Your wife, she says, your husband, anybody, okay? Remember what it says in 1 John 5:19. We've been talking about that one lately, huh? The whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. We're all under the sway. Even though we're saved, we still get oppressed by the devil, even though we're not possessed, right? All right? That means we're all susceptible to Satan's schemes and ploys unless we submit ourselves to God through Jesus Christ. That's the important part. We will not be able to resist the devil. The devil is very sly. Try as you might, you can't defeat Satan and his demons and the influence they have over your lives without clinging to Jesus Christ. That's why the word tells us in Ephesians 6:10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. You can't be shielded by the armor if you don't even know what armor is. You can't put on the armor. You don't know about armor. You're just running naked, and the devil can pick us off at any time, right? And most of you should know this, especially those of you who are saved, born-again believers. And if you're not saved, if you're not you should be, and I pray that you will be soon, because there's just no other way. And I'm speaking to the camera. There is no other way.
Amen. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through his Son, Jesus Christ. This is Miracles of God with Pastor Joel Jones, sponsored by Spirit of Truth Church Worldwide in Fairfield, California. Today's message, along with previous broadcasts, are available on demand at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. To connect with us, like and follow us on Facebook. And if Pastor Joel's messages are blessing you, let us know. Submit your comments, testimonies, and prayer requests on our contact page at spiritoftruthchurchworldwide.com. Are you in need of prayer or encouragement? Please call us at 707-759-5244. Miracles of God is a listener-supported program, and we're so thankful for your support. If you haven't had the opportunity to sow a financial seed and have the desire and the means to do so, will you prayerfully consider doing so today? All financial donations are tax deductible and accepted on our secure website where giving is easy. Simply click on the donate button on our website to give today. We appreciate your faithful support and pray the Lord continues to strengthen you as you follow Him. Join us Sundays for live worship services on Facebook at 1 p.m. and Wednesday evenings at 7 for prayer and Bible study at 8 p.m. as we walk through the Bible together. Sunday services are also available on YouTube and at SpiritOfTruthChurchWorldwide.com. And don't forget to tune into Miracles of God next week as we continue this powerful teaching series, The Way, the Truth, and the Life, Finding the Way to Jesus with Pastor Joel Jones. Until next time.